Not that one, baby. He grabbed the You're All We Ever Wanted onesie out of my hands. This is the one we'll take her home in, he rasped, getting down on his knees to kiss my belly. A few weeks after the miscarriage, I'd found myself in the baby's room, crying for what felt like the millionth time, skimming my fingers over the onesies that Austin was so excited to show me. All of it was just a painful reminder of what we would never be bringing home. I decided it was best for the both of us if I took all the baby stuff and store it back in the same box Austin had given me, placing it back on the exact shelf where it was in the closet. Except this time, it wasn't empty anymore. It now held all of our hopes and dreams inside of it. All of our sadness and despair. It was one of the last times I ever stepped foot back into that room. I held the box firmly in my sweaty hands, slowly walking toward the bed with each step bringing me closer to our truths. I sat down on the soft place that contained all our happy memories of the baby we lost. My heart was pounding out of my chest, my ears ringing, echoing all around the room. I placed the box in my lap and closed my eyes, taking a deep breath, preparing myself for I don't know what, or maybe I did know, and didn't want to come to grips with it. I removed the lid off the box and placed it beside me, trying like hell to ease the fear I felt in my heart. The anxiety I couldn't ignore for the last year and a half. Something led me there, and I had a feeling I knew exactly what that something was. He doesn't lie to you, Briggs. He has never lied to you, I reassured myself, opening my eyes, seeing for the first time exactly how many fucking lies he told me, and I believed him. Every last one.
Chapter 35. Austin.
Hey, man, Dylan called out, bringing my attention over to him. I placed the order for our dinner and made my way over to the boys' table.
Have a beer with us, Lucas said, pulling out the chair next to him. Barely seen you around lately, brother. Everything all right?
Jacob handed me a beer, and I took a swig, placing it down on the table.
Just working, I simply stated.
Bullshit, we're all fucking working, Jacob chuckled. And we all have kids. Try again, motherfucker.
Dylan narrowed his eyes at me, and I played it off like I didn't see it.
We're all fucking adults now. We're not kids, and we've all gone through shit,
Dylan added, only looking at me.
Fucking talk. No judgments here.
I took another swig of my beer, leaning back into my chair, resting the bottle in my lap.
There's so much shit you don't know,
I scoffed out, shaking my head.
I wouldn't even know where to start.
How about from the beginning? Jacob suggested.
All eyes were on me.
No one has time for my life story.
Good. We don't want to hear how fucking boring you are. What's been going on with Briggs? Dylan asked.
She was pregnant.
They all jerked back, stunned. Dylan followed.
Was?
She woke up in a pool of her own blood one night. The doctor said it happens a lot, I guess. I don't fucking know. I shrugged like it was no big deal when it was really tearing at my heart again. I took another swig of my beer, avoiding their stares.
Fuck, Jacob breathed out. That's rough to come back from. How is she?
I don't even know. Lucas frowned.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means I'm a fucking asshole. From the second the doctor told us it was a miscarriage, I blamed her. I blamed the woman who has done anything and everything for me. The same woman who has saved my sorry ass more fucking times than I care to count,
I admitted out loud for the first time,
immediately feeling like the piece of shit I knew I was.
There's gotta be a reason you feel that way, Austin. We're all fucking assholes. Especially that son of a bitch right there.
Lucas grinned, dangling his beer toward Dylan.
We know you love her. You're just as pussy-whipped as we all are.
Speak for yourself, Dylan chimed in.
You may not be with Audrey, but that doesn't mean you don't want to be. Play that card somewhere else, McGraw,
Jacob called him out.
But this isn't about you.
Listen, guys, I really appreciate this, but I don't want to...
No shit, Austin. You never want to talk about it.
It's who you've always been. How far has that gotten you, huh?
Lucas countered, interrupting me.
The words were spilling out of my mouth before I even knew it.
Briggs had a fucking abortion, all right? Happy now? Years ago. For reasons I don't want to go into with you assholes.
I think a part of me has never forgiven her for it. I love her more than anything, and I don't blame her for her choices, but I can't help the way I feel. Her miscarrying just brings all that shit back up for me. I question whether the miscarriage had something to do with the abortion, even though I don't think that's even physically possible. All my thoughts and feelings are irrational and fucking selfish, but there isn't anything I can do to make them go away. So there.
I drank the rest of my beer, placing it on the table. I stood, shocked as shit that I had just shared that. I'd never told anyone. The fact that I even just admitted all of this to you makes me hate myself even more than I have since the miscarriage. Fucked up. I'm so fucked up in my head that it's just a cluster of bullshit in a hollow place. I love her more than anything. I couldn't imagine my life without her. She's my reason for everything. I took a deep breath, rubbing the back of my neck.
Austin, we've all fucked up, especially with our girls. You're human, bro. You need to stop punishing yourself and just fucking talk to her.
I know that's hard for any man, but fuck it,
Dylan advised.
Have you talked to Aubrey? Huh? You forgiven her?
I threw back at him. He winced. It was quick, but I saw it.
Exactly.
With that, I turned and left. I grabbed our dinner order from the counter and got my sorry ass in the fucking car, needing to get away from him. To get away from this fucking hell that has lived inside me for God knows how long. I felt every minute of that drive home, down to every last second. My mind raced. My body craved. My heart shattered. By the time I made it home, I was running out of the car, throwing the food on the island table, heading straight for the stairs, taking them three at a time. My body came to an immediate stop. The force alone almost knocking me the fuck over. The bedroom door was open. The room that was going to be our babies. The room that Briggs never went in. The room I used for the sole purpose to betray her. I couldn't move. My feet were glued to the goddamn floor. The only light shining in our dark house came from the same place I let my darkness take over me. My heart was pounding out of my chest. My palms became clammy, and sweat pooled at the temples. The walls of the hallway were closing in on me. The fucked up voices already screaming, "No, no, no," in my mind. I gripped the back of my head, wanting to rip my goddamn hair out, trying to decide if I should leave or face what might be waiting for me on the other side of that door. I took a deep breath and made myself walk forward. Each stride brought me closer to my own demise. No more excuses. No more lies. No more I'm sorry. I pushed the partially closed door open and walked into the room. Briggs' head was bowed. Her body slumped over with her purple hair slightly hiding her face. She looked so broken, so defeated, so fucking sad, as if every last part of her had died. My closed box was securely placed in her hands, her grasp so tight that her knuckles had turned white. She knew. She finally peered up at me after what maybe felt like a few minutes, hours, days, everything blended together now. Nothing made sense in my life anymore. All I knew was my whole world was sitting on that bed, the good and the bad. My angel and my devil. With a solemn expression, she asked,
"This what you're looking for, Austin?"
She held up the box, finally looking me in the face. I swallowed hard. It felt like knives going down my throat, directly toward my heart. Just from the look on her tear-stained face, it was always the same goddamn look. Hurt, disgust, disappointment. Making me feel like a worthless piece of shit.
"How long?"
she said, barely above a whisper. My eyes shifted back and forth between her and the box, battling between the woman I loved most in the world and the box that held the things I hated the most, but craved.
"How long have you been fucking lying to me?"
she screamed, loud enough to shatter glass. I didn't even bat an eye as I replied, "Since the night I relapsed." She grimaced, the impact of the truth crashing into her. She stood from the bed with the box still in her grasp, walking over to the furthest corner of the room, away from me. "I don't even get high anymore, baby. It's not even about that. I need it to take the edge off. I swear to you, that's all," I rasped out, trying like hell to keep it together. Tears slid down her face onto the box in her hands. Our baby. My lies. The truth. "You need this shit?" she said, lifting the box. "To be with me?" she wept, her voice breaking. "That's why. Because of me, right? That's what you're taking the edge off of?" I shook my head no, rubbing the back of my neck. "Then what? What excuse do you have now? What lie are you going to tell me? Do you even know anymore, Austin? The truth from the fucked up fiction you created in your head to justify why you're an addict?" "Briggs," I stepped toward her, but she put her hand up in the air, stopping me dead in my tracks. "I'm just as fucked up as you are. I'm your fucking enabler. I make excuses and lie for you because I love you. Because it kills me to think you're not the man I fell in love with. The man that protected me from every bad thing in this world. The man who was my first friend. The one that made me feel safe and loved for the first time since my parents died. The same man who's looking at the box with all his fucking drugs in it rather than looking at me." My body was physically starting to cave in on me, pushing me further and deeper into the black abyss of an addict. I hadn't used since I found Briggs in the kitchen that afternoon before I left to go to the shop. My head was throbbing, my body clawing at itself, and the ache spreading through me was so fucking crippling. I blamed my relapse on the pain that the miscarriage caused. I kept using because the guilt I felt from blaming her was unforgiving. It didn't help that I kept seeing our babies when I was high. Everything about it was so fucked up. Every time I used, I told myself I wasn't going to do it again, that this was the last time. I couldn't bear the pain of her knowing, her finding out that I fucked up once again. I was a fucking coward. I couldn't have her see me get sick and know the reason behind it. I honestly used to take the edge off, but today was the first time that I wanted to use to cope with all the emotional bullshit. I wanted her to know the truth. I wanted to say all of this to her. To know every last secret, every last lie, every last demon in my fucked up existence. To finally be honest with her, like I should have done before I relapsed following the miscarriage. But I couldn't get the words to come out of my mouth. I could barely form any coherent thoughts. The overpowering crave to use took over my mind, body, and soul. My nose started running, my teeth chattered, my body locked up. The hot and cold sweats were kicking in, creeping upon my skin. It wouldn't take long for the nausea and the cramps to hit either. Turning into the man with no desire for anything other than taking away the pain from my body betraying me. As I betrayed her, the irony was not lost on me. "Baby, please," I begged, not knowing what for, as I leaned over, placing my hand on my stomach. There were so many tears coming down Briggs's face that I could barely see her eyes anymore, her beautiful smile replaced with nothing but agonizing pain and despair. "Please what, Austin? What are you jonesing for? What can I enable you with now?" "Briggs," I rasped, clearing my throat that felt like it was closing up on me. Fighting back the ache in my bones, willing my body not to betray me any further. Betray her. "For the longest fucking time, I blamed myself for doing this to you. For bringing you into this lifestyle. Practically shoving drugs at you," she admitted with her head bowed. The hurt from withdrawing and seeing her like this was causing me to die a little more inside. She slowly looked up at me, her hair falling away from her tear-streaked face, with nothing but emptiness in her eyes. "I kept telling myself that you would have never become an addict if I wasn't there to enable you, that I'm truly the cause of your demise. This is one of my biggest excuses I use to forgive you over and over again. It's one that I'm battling with right now,
as I sit here looking at the man who was supposed to love me, trying to find him under his clusterfuck of lies. All I see is the man that has been lying to me for the last year and a half. I don't know who you are anymore, and I'm starting to think I never did. Jesus Christ, Briggs.
I was starting to see spots, my vision coming in and out of clarity. I blinked a few times to no avail. I leaned up against the wall for stability. The last thing I needed right now was to give her another reason to fucking hate me.
I fell in love with you when I was 17 years old, on a balcony, without even knowing your name. I loved you then. Did you know that? Now I can't even fucking look at you. It kills me to fucking look at you. Do you have any idea how much I hate you for that? You were the only good thing in my life, Austin. The only fucking happiness I'd ever had. How could you do this to me? How could you make me hate you? Fucking hate you. I hate you so damn much. I hate your apologies. I hate your excuses, your lies, your fucking love. Especially because I can't stop loving you. And I want to. I want to stop loving you so fucking bad it hurts everywhere inside of me. Especially here.
She put her hand against her heart.
But I can't. I love you still. And I fucking hate you for that.
She bawled, her body shaking so fucking hard it mirrored mine. My girl stood there breaking in front of me, and all I could do was stand there and watch her go down. I couldn't comfort her. I couldn't lie to her. I couldn't do one damn thing but watch. My body wouldn't let me. It was dying right along with hers.
Do you hear me? Do you understand me? I fucking hate you. I hate you. Do you even care? Am I even important to you? Do I even matter to you anymore? Or have I been replaced by your demons, Austin? By your fucking drugs?
I love you more than anything, I let out in one breath.
Liar! You're such a fucking liar!
She screamed out so damn loud. Her body gave out on her, and she crumbled to the ground, rocking back and forth on her knees. I shuddered. It reminded me of a waterfall. She was a pile of nothing at the bottom, clutching the box tight against her chest, wanting to feel closer to our baby, wanting to keep my stash that I so desperately needed right now to survive away from me.
Why do you keep doing this to me? Why can't you just stop? Why do you keep hurting me? After everything we've been through, everything you've put me through, why can't you just love me? Me, Austin, your girl. Why am I not enough for you like you are for me? Why?
She bellowed question after question with no pauses in between, not giving me a chance to speak, even though I couldn't get my goddamn mouth to move. I fell to the ground in pure agony for her. For how I was feeling right that moment. Pain. Sliding against the wall, inch by inch, feeling every word she said to me, piercing my soul, feeling every sensation that coursed through my veins, breaking my heart and will to keep going. I needed to make this better, but I couldn't get the fucking words out to talk to her. My body wouldn't let me. The drugs had taken over. It was like I was there, but I wasn't. My body was in the room, but my mind was lost. I got on my hands and knees and slowly crawled to her, trying to reach for my angel as the devil clawed at my feet. Each movement made my sore muscles ache in ways I had never experienced before. Daisy, I murmured so low, my voice sounding so distant. I knew she couldn't hear me over her sobs of despair. I watched the scene from above us as if I was having an out-of-body experience. Her sobs would forever haunt me. I would remember her like this, always. A curled-up, broken woman tucked away in the corner, waiting for someone to heal her. Baby, I whispered again at her tear-stained face. Her cheek felt so warm against my cold skin. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. I managed to say, kissing all over her face, soaking up her tears that were still falling from her torn eyes. I love you.
Where's my girl? Hmm? Where's my Daisy?
I whispered close to her ear so she could hear my sincerity. She shook her head, closing her eyes, leaning away from me. At least that time she didn't push me away.
I'm sorry. I love you. Please, baby, me. I love you.
I sensed her resolve breaking, her body betraying her like I had by giving into my embrace.
I would never intentionally hurt you,
I reassured her, pulling her a little closer, feeling her warmth against my clammy exterior.
I love you, Daisy. I love you more than anything. You know that. We're best friends. Remember?
She winced, still keeping her eyes shut. I pulled her hair back away from her face, grazing her cheeks with my trembling thumbs.
You're so fucking beautiful. I'm so lucky to have you, baby. You're all I ever wanted. All I ever needed. I'm sorry. I'm so fucking sorry. You know I would die before hurting you. You know that. You're my whole world.
I shut my eyes, swallowing the bile that was rising in my throat. Leaning my forehead on her shoulder for support, I turned my face, laying soft kisses down her neck.
Please, baby, I fucking love you.
I kissed all along her cheeks again, savoring the feel of her against me, all while battling the urge to tear the box out of her hands, my eyes fixated on it.
Why do you keep doing this to me?
She wept, breaking down against my lips when I reached hers.
Shh, shh.
I wrapped my arms around her, wanting her to seek the comfort she needed in my arms, return the love that I always received from hers. I knew that I didn't deserve it, but I was a selfish son of a bitch. I needed it. I held her shattering body in my trembling arms, physically feeling her soul breaking piece by piece. Every last part of her slipped through my hold, my limbs locked up on me from the slightest movement.
Oh, fuck, Daisy,
I groaned out in pure agony from everything. Her swollen eyes suddenly opened, looking at me in a new light. We locked gazes for a second, taking each other in. As she reached up to wrap her arms around my neck, the box simultaneously fell from her grasp to the hardwood floor between us. The slow motion boom echoed all around us. My mind was telling me no, but my body didn't give it a second thought. The ache won, betraying both of us. I grabbed the box and stood, my body moving on its own accord. Her arm slipped away from my neck, and I instantly missed her warmth. Her love. My Daisy. My mind was waging war with my body, battling not to leave her there, broken, struggling to not use again, fighting for my life that was still sitting on the floor, realizing what I just did to her. It wasn't enough. It never was. I walked to the door without a second glance and left.
Chapter 36. Briggs. Rock bottom. Two words I'd heard mentioned countless times in stories at the NA meetings. Every last addict repeating those two words. I never realized that I could have one too, not until that day. I thought after finding the drugs in the room that was supposed to be our babies and coming to the realization that he'd lied to me for the first time in over a year and a half was my rock bottom. Except it wasn't. He'd never chosen drugs over me. I always came first. No matter what, I was the most important thing. His demons, his struggles, his addiction were always secondary. Our love was number one, primary in all aspects of our fucked up lives. I lost. That was my rock bottom, and I couldn't do it anymore. I don't know how long I sat there, stunned by the turn of events, crying my eyes out for what felt like the millionth time. The slamming of the front door jerked me away from my thoughts. There wasn't an emotion left in my body for me to feel. I raged with fury. A decade of solitude and years spent void of any emotion. No love. An endless stream of hurt, pain, and emptiness always in my shadows. The barricade that surrounded my heart, never allowing me to leave, was a ticking time bomb that waited, had now exploded. It was loud, disastrous, and chaotic. It was going to take everything around me with it, like a tornado spinning around in circles, No one stood a chance, especially me. It elicited feelings I never thought would be possible, emotions that one should never have to experience. I felt every loss of breath. It cluttered my mind, willing me to keep going, to push through. I couldn't keep up with the agony that grasped onto me like a fucking vice, taking me deeper under the ground where there was no one but me. Alone. Forever destined to be alone. Life was cruel like that. I hated him. I hated myself. I crept up off the floor, my skin itching and my mind burning. My reflection in the mirror made me sick. My misery. My hand caught my mouth as I ran into the bathroom, hurling my head over to the toilet. I heaved over and over again, getting rid of the toxic poison inside me, our love. I spit out the rest of it, wiping my lips with the back of my hand. I rinsed my mouth out with water and fervently shook my head side to side, trying to block out the last several hours of my life. His lies. His touch. My memories. Austin. They were forever seared in my soul. It was now a piece of me, something that I would never be able to detach myself from. I screamed out my frustration, unleashing the rage, the wrath I no longer had any control over. It pounded into me as furiously as the truth did minutes ago. I walked out of the bathroom, slowly walking toward our bedroom, remembering how many times he made love to me while he was high, when he was fucked up, fucking me, lying to me, saying he wasn't using, that he loved me, that I was his girl. His Daisy. I took one last look around the room before I grabbed my suitcase from the closet and threw it on the bed, grabbing everything I could from my drawers. I scurried around the closet, my feet stomping everywhere I stepped, leaving a path of destruction in its wake. I packed everything I could find, not caring what it was. My eyes blurred with tears every time I shoved a piece of me into my bag. My body twisted with desire to fall apart, to crumble to pieces right then and there. "I fucking hate you. I fucking hate you so much," I yelled, talking to myself. I repeated it over and over again to let it sink into my pores, wanting it to become a part of me, to fuel my determination to leave him and not look back. I grabbed a few things from the bathroom, brushing my teeth and washing my face. I hurried, rushing as fast as I could to get my shit together and leave, praying that I could get the hell out of there before he got back. I didn't want to hear his lies, his excuses, his manipulations, luring me into a spiderweb of deceit. I packed enough things to get me through the next few days, not knowing where the fuck I was going, just knowing that I needed to get out of there. I zipped the suitcase and grabbed it off the bed, dashing out of the bedroom that I made out of nothing but love and devotion. For him. My heart pounded and my ears rang as I raced down the stairs with my suitcase in tow, rounding the corner so fast I almost tripped over my own 2 feet, catching myself on the wall before I fell over. I made it another 10 steps before hearing the front door click, seeing the knob turn over, all playing out in slow motion in front of me, stopping me dead in my tracks. We locked eyes for only a few seconds when he opened the door, his drug-induced gaze going from my face to the suitcase I was firmly holding, the realization hitting him like a ton of fucking bricks. We both heard it loud and clear. "What the fuck are you doing?" He closed the door behind him. "Where the hell do you think you're going?" he snapped, stepping toward me, causing me to take a step back. He wavered, standing still. "Daisy," he coaxed, still peering back and forth between my face and the suitcase I was holding so fucking hard to the point of pain. "I love you," he said, with so much sincerity in his tone that it nearly killed me to hear him say it. "Get the fuck out of my way," I roared, trying to sidestep him to no avail.
"Not a chance in fucking hell, Briggs. Let's talk, okay?"
He put his arms out, blocking my escape.
"Talk to me."
"Oh, now you want to talk? Now that you're high, Austin? Now that you chose your drugs over me?"
"I didn't choose drugs over you. I would never do that, and you fucking know it. I was seconds from having a goddamn seizure up there."
He spewed, roughly jabbing his finger in the direction of the bedroom.
"I was fucking dying. You know what withdrawal is. You have witnessed it firsthand. The last thing I wanted was to have you see me like that again. I left so you wouldn't have to."
"Oh my God," I blurted, accenting every word with wide eyes. "In your own fucked up head, you actually think that's fucking true? You actually think that you did that for me? That you didn't just choose your precious drugs over me? Are you fucking kidding me? It doesn't matter what excuses you tell yourself, Austin. The truth is blatantly fucking there."
"Stop fucking saying that, Briggs. I would never choose drugs over you. I would have fucking used in front of you if that were true. I wouldn't have given a flying fuck if you saw me. I wouldn't have left the love of your life breaking down? Sopping? Desperately trying to keep it together? Drowning in a sea of your fucking lies? Tell me, Austin, what wouldn't you have done? Lie to me some more? Since you're so fucking good at it. Take a bow, asshole. That was a performance of a lifetime. I immediately grabbed the vase of flowers off the counter that he brought home for me a few days ago and threw them directly at him. You selfish son of a bitch, I screamed. He ducked as a glass vase hit the door behind him, shattering into 1,000 pieces, mirroring my heart. Fuck you! Now get the hell out of my way, I yelled as loud as I could. My hands fisted at my sides. Traitorous waves of anger rolled off of me. My body shook, vibrating down to my core. He was over to me before I even saw him coming, reaching for my chin, forcing me to look at the disgrace of a man in front of me. I jerked my face out of his grasp. Baby, just let me explain. Please just give me a chance to... No! Not going to happen this time. You've had plenty of chances. You blew what was left. You did this to us, not me. You. As soon as I felt his strong arms wrap around my waist, I pushed him away as if his touch burned me. Don't fucking touch me, I shouted bloody murder, pushing him again as hard as I could. His back hit the column and I didn't falter. You liar. You're nothing but a fucking liar, I repeated, hitting him all over his face and body, anywhere I could. He tried to block each and every advance, so I pushed him and hit him harder, taking out every ounce of frustration and hatred on him. Briggs, calm the fuck down, he ordered, trying to grip onto my wrists. All you do is lie to me. That's all you fucking do. I don't even know who you are anymore. Maybe I never fucking did. I cried, hitting and shoving him the closer he tried to come toward me. I wasn't strong enough to hold him back any longer. My attempts became weaker and weaker, my eyes blurred with nothing but tears, my body giving out on me with each second that passed between us. I hate you. I hate you, I screamed, beating my fists on his chest. Emotionally and physically drained, mentally spent. I brought my hand up and slapped him across the face as hard as I could, ready to slap him again when he shoved me against the wall. Do your best, baby, he snidely rasped against my lips, locking my wrists above my head. We both know this is only foreplay for you, he added, kissing me so damn hard I didn't have the chance to reply. I bit down on his lip until I tasted blood. He immediately jerked back, pulling my hair by the nook of my neck. I panted, frantically trying to gather my bearings, my body shaking. Every part of my resolve was hammering all around me. I could hear it at my temples. I swear every part of my nervous system was breaking, shutting down, making it hard to see, let alone stand. All I could do was feel, and I didn't want to fucking feel. It brought me nothing but turmoil and distress. I weakly thrashed around some more, ignoring the pain in my head, the hurt in my heart, the sorrow in the depths of my soul. He held me tighter against his chest, both of us gasping for air. Adrenaline coursed through our veins. Stop! Fucking stop! I don't want to hurt you, he shouted, tightening his grasp on me. I frustratingly screamed out, knowing that I wasn't going anywhere unless he wanted me to. Closing my eyes, I tried to govern my breathing, my thoughts, my fucking heart. His grip loosened and I felt his face brush against mine. The smell of cigarettes assaulted my senses. Memories instantly attacked my mind at rapid speed. Fuck you, Austin. I'd rather fuck you, baby, he rasped along my lips. I'm sorry. I love you. You know that. You fucking know that. Where's my girl? Huh? Where's my Daisy? I turned my face away from his, but he gripped my chin, making me peer back up at him again. There was no fight left in me. I leaned my head back against the wall, glaring deep into his constricted pupils. We stared at each other for what felt like hours, both of us lost in our own darkness. He rubbed my bottom lip with his thumb, licking away the blood from his own lips. For a moment, it felt good that I could cause him any pain, even as minuscule as that for the suffering he put me through. I blamed you, Briggs, he said out of nowhere, breaking my goddamn heart even more.
Austin. I wanted 1 minute to touch her, to look at her, to feel her, to hold her. My other hand moved to the side of her face, lightly caressing her cheek, slowly bringing down her walls. I angled my head to the side to take in her beauty as I placed some of the damp pieces of her hair that had fallen behind her ears. Her eyes were immense. I'd never seen them so big, so soft. so warm, so smooth. She remained still the entire time, giving up on her assault. Her arms fell slack to her sides, and her back was placed firmly against the wall. She didn't move or speak, as if she was taking me in as well. From the second I heard the doctors say it was a miscarriage, I blamed you. I should have told you that day, but I didn't want to hurt you any more than you already were. I knew you were hurting too. That's the reason why I kept using. I felt so fucking guilty for feeling that way toward you. Baby, you don't deserve that. I'm sorry. I love you more than anything in this world. You know that, Briggs. Her chest rose and descended with each second that passed. Tsunamis of emotions raged in her eyes, and with each stroke of my fingers against her sensitive skin, I got to see each one unfold. I leaned in and caressed her cheek with mine, still running my finger along the crevices of her lips. I fucking love you. I'm sorry. Let me make it up to you. Let me make it all better, I whispered, clutching onto the back of her neck, kneading her closer to my chest. To my heart. I trailed my fingers from her lips to her chin and down to her neck, moving them to the side of her body. I wanted to look into her eyes like nothing else existed but her. She seemed so fragile in my arms, vulnerable and broken. The pain I caused was all-consuming, burning into my skin. She stared up at me. Her eyes never strayed from my face the entire time I spoke. I felt them stabbing me everywhere. I roughly clung onto the back of her neck again and brought her to me. She came without a fight, letting me hug her tight to my body. She fit me like a glove, made only for me. With my face on the side of hers, I glided my cheek along the crevice of her jaw, making my way along the side of her neck. Please, baby, please forgive me. I moved my lips to her mouth and kissed her. She didn't push me away, kissing back softly. I had touched every last part of her, but in that moment, it felt like the first time. It was different. We were different. I need to be inside you, I whispered in between kisses. I unbuckled my jeans and pushed up her skirt, slowly pulling her panties down. I gripped onto the back of her thigh, placing it on my hip. My pants fell to the ground effortlessly. My hard cock sprung free. She still didn't say a word. I love you. I love you so much. I'll fix this. Us. I promise. I'll go back to rehab. Whatever it takes, baby. Caging her in with my arms, I aligned my cock at her opening for plunging into her pussy. In one swift movement, I was deep inside her. Her breathing hitched. She cried out, not saying a word. I gripped onto her thigh again, lifting it higher to hold her in place. I thrust in and out, groaning in approval, fucking her slow like she loved. Does that feel good, baby? Every thrust inside her, she felt the mass of my body movement, inching her a little higher each time. I softly kissed her, taking my time with each stroke of my tongue as it entwined with hers, savoring the velvety feel of my mouth claiming hers. I pushed in and out of her before I pulled away, needing to look into her eyes. I knew Briggs's body better than she did. My fingers moved to her clit, and she let out a soft moan, her resolve breaking with each stroke. Her pussy clamped down onto my cock, and I knew she was close. Her head fell back against the wall, and her arms wrapped around my neck. I lifted her up, wanting her legs wrapped around my torso. I fucked her harder and with more determination. Her heart was beating as fast as mine. I kissed her passionately with everything that was left inside of me, needing her to understand my shame and remorse. Fuck, you feel good, I growled out. Come on my cock, baby. Please, let me feel you come for me. She moaned, squeezing her thighs with her release, taking me right along with her. I held her in my arms for what felt like hours, but I knew it had only been minutes.
When I placed her back onto the ground, she immediately backed away from me, her body trembling like she was in shock or something. Daisy? I grabbed her chin and she roughly jerked it away from me. Shit, are you okay? Was I too rough? Did I hurt you? She shut her eyes, letting tears stream down her face. I didn't even realize she'd been crying while we were making love. Fuck. Baby, I'm sorry. I would never fucking hurt you. She instantly opened her eyes, and for the first time, I didn't recognize the woman staring back at me. My girl was gone. She narrowed her eyes at me. Shaking her head, she scoffed out, "All you do is hurt me, Austin. That's all you fucking do." I jerked back from the impact of her words. "Congratulations. You got what you wanted. I gave in to you. Your touch, your lies, your manipulation, your love. Again, you know how to work me like I'm your favorite fucking toy. I'm done being played with. I can't do this anymore with you. That right there, what just happened is how easily I lose all my sense of reasoning when it comes to you."
I watched her grab her suitcase off the floor and walk to the door, taking my goddamn heart with her. She bowed her head, leaning it against the door like it killed her to be leaving me.
As much as it was killing me to watch. At the last second, she turned around, and for a second, I thought my whole world was coming back to me.
"You're addicted to drugs, Austin," she shrugged, her voice breaking.
"And I'm addicted to you."
Looking deep into my eyes, she spoke with conviction.
"And our love is just as fucking toxic."
Chapter 37. Briggs. How does that make you feel? I hate it when you say that, Dr. Holden. And yet after 6 months of coming to see me, you still know I have to say it. My therapist chuckled. 2 days a week, I sat on a comfortable leather sofa and poured my heart out to a complete stranger. We talked about anything and everything. Sometimes she just listened, and other times she asked questions, trying to figure out the root of my problems and how to help me move on. It had been 6 months since I left Austin. 6 painful months since I ended up back in New York, knocking on my uncle's penthouse door in the middle of the night. I had nowhere else to go. Before I even realized what I was doing and where I was, a woman answered the door, a young woman I had never seen before now.
"Jesus Christ, how many fucking times do I have to tell you not to answer the fucking door?" Uncle Alejandro roared.
"How many times do I have to tell you that I don't care what you fucking want?" she snapped back. My eyes widened in disbelief that someone spoke to him that way, and they were still standing. I'd never once seen a woman around my uncle, let alone in his penthouse, even though I knew he went through pussy like they were nothing. I'd heard enough stories, but I'd never witnessed that side of him. The door opened wider. He cocked his head to the side when he saw me, taking in my appearance. I could only imagine what he thought. "Hey," I greeted, fumbling with the strap of my bag, not knowing what else to say. He turned back toward the girl, who looked like she could be younger than me. "Leave us," he simply ordered. She frowned, peering back and forth between us, even more confused than I was. She left.
"You're kind of a dick."
"So I've been told, but I'm not the one standing at your doorstep at 5 in the morning. "You know why I'm here. Let's not pretend you don't know everything that has been going on in my life. And I'll pretend that you've been keeping tabs on me because you actually fucking care." I walked past him. "I just need a place to crash for a few days until I figure out what I'm going to do. I'll sleep in your guest bedroom, okay? You won't even know I'm here. It will be like old times. You remember, right? You were hardly there for that, too." He arched an eyebrow. "So this is a pleasant visit, I see. Perhaps we can blame your foul mood on your bitch-causing time." I rolled my eyes at his asshole remarks. "You know where your bedroom is. I don't think I need to remind you, seeing as you're sharing such fond fucking memories from your childhood." "My bedroom? You kept my room?" I asked, shocked as shit. "Who are you?"
"Your uncle. The only family you have, Peladita."
It makes me feel confused. Austin is the only man I've ever known outside of my uncle. He was my family, my heart, my reason. I miss him every single day, but I have so much hatred for him. I also still love him, which outweighs that hatred some days. I don't blame him for my abortion. I did what I thought was the right thing to do at the time. Do you think he would have stayed in recovery if you had kept the baby? I shook my head no. If you would have asked me that back then, I probably would have said yes, but now, after everything that's happened, I don't think he would have stayed in recovery. Something would have happened to make him relapse. There was always something happening. Do you think the abortion played as a downfall in his addiction? I know it did. I bowed my head, playing with the seam of my shirt. I think that's another reason I stayed so long. I felt responsible for some of his demons. The choices I made that not only affected me, but him too. That's normal, Briggs, to feel the way you do. Have you spoken to him? You know I haven't. Do you know how he's doing? See, that's the worst part. I lost his friends and family too. I haven't been back to Oak Island since I left. I don't know if he's in recovery. I don't know anything anymore. Is he still calling you? Every day. Are you listening to the messages? Reading the texts? Not as much as I used to. I'm trying to be strong, but I can't help the guilt I feel. I know you keep telling me that it wasn't my fault that he became an addict. In my mind, that makes sense, but in my heart, doctor, place my hand on my chest. It doesn't feel that way. Austin is an addict, Briggs. He would have become one with or without you. Do you understand that? I nodded. Family members, especially partners, they always feel responsible no matter what. His problems became your problems. His demons became your demons, and his addiction became your burden. It would have killed you had you stayed. You made the right choice by leaving him, Briggs. He wasn't going to get any better with you there. Addicts need consequences. If they don't have any, then why would they change? I'm not saying that you leaving was his rock bottom, but eventually he will find one. They always do. It's just whether he will be alive when it happens. I grimaced. I couldn't help it. I know that's hard for you to hear. But in situations like these, it becomes about their lives. Only them. Killing yours in the process. Addicts die every day, Briggs. It's the nature of the beast. If he doesn't want to stay clean, then he won't. Bottom line. It was already killing me. I don't understand why I stayed for as long as I did. I should have left years ago, but I couldn't. You loved him. You still love him. He's a very sick man. Addiction is a disease, Briggs. It's contagious in the sense that it overpowers everyone involved, including the non-addicts. You're sick too, which is why you're here. Austin won't get better until he wants to. You can't want it for him. You stayed because you remembered the man he was, not the man he became. They're two different people. You can't continue to blame yourself for that. I nodded again. Let me ask you this. If it weren't for the guilt you have from him becoming an addict, bringing him into that life, and then the abortion being another catalyst, would you have stayed as long? I looked around the room, trying to seek the answer out like it was written somewhere on the walls. I wanted to save him, I finally admitted out loud for the first time. I wanted to save one person in my life. Your parents, she simply stated, already understanding. I know it was just a coincidence that I had a temper tantrum when the car hit us. I do know that now. I spent most of my childhood and adolescence thinking I killed my parents, doctor. You know my uncle. Everything I've seen and lived through. I wanted to save someone. I didn't want another person that I loved to die. Not at my hands. Her eyebrows raised, surprised by my revelation. If you hated that life so much, Briggs, why did you stay? Why not leave when you turned 18? I nervously chuckled. I spent years upon years asking myself that same question, especially when I first started working for him. I paused to gather my thoughts. My uncle is the only family I have. I was scared to be alone, plain and simple. I didn't have any friends or role models in my life. Even though I hated what I was doing, it was the only life I'd ever known. She nodded, understanding. How do you feel about your uncle? I stopped trying to understand him decades ago. That man is a mystery. Do you think he loves you? I don't think he knows the meaning of the word, doctor, I honestly spoke. He's the reason you're here. Isn't he? He is, yes. I was still living with him at the time. A few days after I ended up at his penthouse, he woke me up and told me he scheduled an appointment with you. He said I needed to talk to someone who gave a fuck about what I was going through. I guess that was his way of showing me he cared, right? She smiled. I've wanted a family my entire life. I think a part of me thought that if I worked for my uncle, that maybe he would be proud of me or something, that it would miraculously change our relationship. She cocked her head to the side. It's stupid, I know. That's not stupid. You lost your parents at a very young age. It's normal to want to find a home. You found that with Austin. That's one of the reasons you fought so hard for him. You didn't want to lose another person over life's unpredictable circumstances. It's why I didn't want him to start working for my uncle in the first place. I couldn't stop that, so I thought that if I quit partying and doing drugs recreationally with him, he would stop too. But I know he has to want to. I can't want it for him. I repeated the same phrase she had been telling me for months. Exactly. One day at a time, right? She nodded. You did good today, Briggs. It will get easier. Learning to love yourself is one of the hardest things for a person to do, especially for the first time in their life. Yeah, I shyly smiled and nodded. Same time next week? Yes, thank you, Doctor. Keep writing, okay? It's the only thing keeping me sane at the moment. And it was.
Austin. You know what I did today, baby? I went to the dock with my notebook and I drew you. I sat there for hours with my feet in the water, drawing. Do you remember the dock? How many times we made love there? It was one of your favorite places to go together. Except this time you weren't there. I was so fucking alone. I'm always alone. I keep seeing you everywhere, Briggs. You're standing in front of me right now. Your purple hair is spread perfectly all around your face. I keep catching your smile and placing it on my heart. I haven't done that to you in years. Do you remember that, baby? I have the perfect view of the sun right now. It's overlooking the harbor from the warehouse I'm at. I hate this fucking place, but it's making you glow. You look beautiful, baby. Always so fucking beautiful. I only wish I could still see our babies. I never see them anymore. All I see is you. They left with you, Daisy. They left with their mama. I shook away the thoughts. Baby, Briggs, Daisy, pick up the phone. I miss you so fucking much. Come home. I'm your home. I need you. Where's my girl? Where's my Daisy? Beep, beep, beep. The line went dead. Motherfucker! I immediately debated on calling her back, leaving her another message, but I couldn't remember how many I'd already left that day. I was beyond fucked up. My eyes were fluttering to stay open. The drug-induced haze trying to take me down the rabbit hole. But Briggs wasn't down there. I didn't want to go where she didn't exist. She was smiling in front of me. I saw her all the time now, always through the haze of my darkness. She was my only angel among the demons that were around me all the time. My only light. My only hope. She left me over a year ago. I hadn't seen her, spoken to her, found her. It wasn't from the lack of trying. I looked for her everywhere. Even went as far as going to her uncle's penthouse. No one answered, though. It was like Miami all over again. I searched to no avail. She was a figment of my imagination. A ghost. All I had were the memories of her. And with each passing day, I went further down the black abyss because it was the only time I saw her. I craved that time with her. I got to hold her. I got to touch her. Love her. I drowned myself in work, and when I wasn't working, I was high. 6 months after she disappeared, I sold my house. I couldn't be there anymore. It was too painful to walk past the room that held so many memories, good and fucking bad. I was renting a small apartment close to my shop that consisted of a couch and a bed. Everything else went to storage with the hope that Briggs would come back to me. I barely saw the boys or Alex. It was easier that way, to just be alone. No one knew what I was going through. No one knew about my demons. They all had their perfect fucking lives with babies and white picket fences and shit. The haze went out and I shut my eyes, my head falling back against the dirty, mold-infested couch. My spot. Briggs was there, though. She was laughing and dancing around in front of me. Damn, I missed that sound. I reached out to touch her, and she leaned into my embrace. I'm sorry, baby. I'm so fucking sorry, I said, struggling to get the words out.
I love you, Briggs. I'll always fucking love you. No matter what, dead or alive, you're mine.
I stayed in that shithole for the rest of the evening. Lost.
Chapter 38. Austin.
Get up!
Someone yelled from above me. I stirred, grabbing my head.
Fuck,
I slurred. I hadn't even opened my eyes yet, and my head was already fucking pounding.
Carajo, get the fuck up!
He kicked my bed, making it shake.
Jesus Christ!
I groaned out, sitting up and placing my feet on the floor. Hunched over, I held my throbbing head in between my hands.
It's 3 o'clock in the fucking afternoon,
he roared, too close to my face. I peered up, narrowing my eyes at him. It was so damn bright, I could barely make out his figure.
How the fuck did you get inside my apartment, and what the fuck are you doing here, Martinez?
I hadn't seen Briggs's uncle since before she left me. I couldn't even tell you when that was. Everything fucking blended together. Years, months, days. Especially the goddamn days.
2.5 years. I cocked my head to the side.
That's how fucking long I've been waiting for you to get your shit together,
he yelled, making me wince.
What?
I replied, confused.
Jesus Christ, take a cold fucking shower. We need to talk. I'll be waiting in your sorry excuse of a fucking living room.
2.5 years? Is that really how long it's been? I wiped the sleep away from my face and grabbed the t-shirt I had worn the night before off the ground, pulling it over my head. I took some pain pills from a nightstand, swallowed them down whole with no water. Once they kicked in, it didn't take me long to get ready.
You should really consider moving into a nicer apartment complex. All it took to persuade your landlord to let me in was a $100 bill,
Martinez informed as I grabbed a Red Bull from the fridge. Drinking it down in 3 swigs, I crushed the can, then threw it on the counter.
I'm surprised it didn't take it 20. You got ripped off. I apologize if my accommodations aren't what you're used to. I could meet you at the fucking country club up the road. That's where your breed goes to hang around these parts. You can talk to my parents. I'm sure they would love you,
I sarcastically remarked.
I'm not here for pleasant conversation, Austin. Then why the fuck are you here?
To save your sorry excuse of a life.
A little late for that, I scoffed out.
He eyed me up and down from where he stood against my wall, before pulling something out of the inside of his suit pocket. He threw an envelope on the counter in front of me. The contents slipped out just enough to see. It took me a second to realize that they were pictures. Some were from the club where I first saw Briggs again, after I found out she was a drug dealer. Others were from our trips around the world.
Briggs is very special to me. I love her very fucking much.
We locked eyes and I jerked back, stunned. He folded his arms over his chest, cocking his head to the side with a snide smile.
Don't look so fucking surprised. She's hard not to love, as you well know. I watched you and kept tabs on you, because I didn't fucking trust you. As far as I knew, you were some punk-ass motherfucker taking advantage of my niece. I tolerated you because it made her happy. Then you proved yourself worthy of her love with the incident in Colombia. You would kill for her. And a man like me can respect that about a man like you. A man who knew nothing about what he was getting himself into, but you stayed just to protect her.
A lover, I simply stated.
You need to get your shit together. You're a fucking junkie. Look around.
He gestured to the shithole I called home.
Is this how you want to live, or is this where you plan to die? You would think losing the one thing that mattered to you the most would straighten your ass out. But all it's done is the fucking opposite. You're a goddamned fuck-up, Austin.
Oh, I'm the fuck-up? What about you, Martinez?
Do you know how fucked up you made Briggs?
I paused, waiting for him to say something, but he didn't. He just stood there with a knowing expression. That's what I thought. You're nothing but a fucking pussy behind expensive suits. Before I knew what was happening, he was over to me in three strides, grabbing me by the shirt. You cocky son of a bitch! You have no idea who the fuck you're talking to! He gritted out, practically spitting in my face. He slammed my back into the wall. I hit it with a hard thud. You're lucky I'm even here. The only reason I am is because I fucking owe you. You brought life into Briggs again. Something I had never known how to do. Her mother would at least want me to try to help you, motherfucker. Now get your shit together before it's too late. With that, he let me go, stepping away from me. I slid down the wall, crouching over and rubbing the back of my neck. I hated to admit it, but he was right. It was also easier said than done. Where is she? I've been... You've been what? Not doing a damn thing, but drowning in your own fucking shit that you created by getting high. You think she deserves a man like that? You think your children, your babies would? I'm only going to tell you this once. One fucking time. She's moving to Myrtle Beach because for some reason that I can't fucking fathom, she loves the Carolinas. Get your life in order before it's too late and there is no life to fucking save. He threw a piece of paper on the counter, turning around to leave. Do you know? I asked, stopping him dead in his tracks. Needing confirmation, he spun to face me again, looking me dead in the eyes. He didn't falter. Kids aren't in the cards for me, but I can only imagine what it would feel like to lose one, with or without my consent. He turned around and left without so much as a second glance. I immediately grabbed the paper, realizing he left me with her address. I grabbed my phone and keys, mentally preparing for whatever the fuck I had to do to get her back. I was in my car and driving to her house with hope in my heart that the reason she was moving to Myrtle Beach was to be close to me. It was only an hour away. I couldn't live without her any longer. I'd barely been living since she left me, slowly killing myself with thoughts of her through a needle in my vein. I would do anything it took to be with her again. I'd go to rehab, live in a sober living community. Fuck, even just be her goddamn friend if that's what it took for her to trust me again. I knew she still loved me as much as I loved her. She was mine. End of story. I sped the entire way there with a heavy heart and a guilty conscience, ready to beg for her forgiveness, her mercy, her fucking love. I followed a car into her gated community. She lived in the suburbs of Myrtle Beach, one of those neighborhoods that looked like it came straight out of one of her books that she used to read. There were kids playing outside everywhere, laughing and smiling, not a care in this corrupted world. It calmed the anxiety I felt all around me.
106 Oakfield Drive, on the right in 100 feet, the GPS informed.
I decided to leave my car at the park down the street. I didn't want her to see me coming. I thought it would be better to surprise her, not allowing her to have time to not answer the door. I grabbed my burgundy beanie off the seat, taking one last look at myself in the visor mirror. I looked like I hadn't slept in months, but she used to love this beanie on me. My mind raced with thoughts of what to say to her with each step that brought me closer to her house, praying that she would at least talk to me. After all this time, she would give me a chance to make things right again. I saw the moving trucks in her driveway and on the street before I found her. My eyes wandered everywhere, trying to spot her amongst the workers. Waiting to see my girl, my Daisy. And just like that, she appeared. My angel walking down the ramp of the moving truck with a few small boxes in her arms. My eyes widened and my breathing hitched, staring at a woman that I didn't recognize, that I didn't know. I shook my head and blinked a few times, thinking it was my fucked up mind playing tricks on me. It wasn't. Her hair was a deep shade of brown, like the vibrant purple that I'd loved had never existed. The new color made her blue eyes stand out more, but they weren't bright and shining or full of life. I couldn't see any of her tattoos. They were all covered up by one of those prissy fucking sweaters she always hated. She wore it over a buttoned-up blouse and black slacks. She was still breathtakingly beautiful, but she was no longer my girl. No remnants of the woman I had spent years with existed anymore. "The fuck?" I whispered to myself, trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Did Martinez send me here to rip my fucking heart out all over again? Did he do this on purpose? She smiled, big and wide. I didn't have to follow her gaze to figure out what was causing her to smile. The same smile that would make me catch her expression in the air and place it near my heart. My heart fucking dropped. I stopped breathing. Everything played out in slow motion, as if I were in one of those black and white movies. My whole world and everything I so desperately wanted to believe in came tumbling down on me with no remorse or compassion. He grabbed the back of her neck, bringing her lips to kiss his. She went effortlessly, kissing him with the same love she once kissed me with. She smiled against his lips. He softly pecked hers again, grabbing the boxes out of her hands. He said something that made her laugh. Her head fell back, making her body shake. I could hear her laughter in my head from all the times I made her come undone. My feet moved of their own accord to hide behind the moving truck, needing to hear what they were saying, as if seeing her with another man wasn't enough for me to realize the truth that Martinez was trying to warn me about.
"So that was your fee for helping me with the boxes, wasn't it?"
"Of course. Men need to be rewarded, Daisy." I immediately closed my eyes, leaning my forehead and hands against the side of the truck for support, trying to reel in my fury, feeling like I just took a goddamn bullet to my fucking heart. Nothing could ever compare to the hurt that I was drowning in at that moment, the hole in the ground that was swallowing me alive.
"Well..."
I opened my eyes when I heard her voice again, continuing to watch my nightmare unfold before me.
"There's still a shit ton of boxes left in the truck. I might run out of rewards for you,"
she flirted, twirling her now brown hair around her finger.
"I'm sure I can come up with other ways for you to repay me, baby. One that requires you to get down on your knees."
She giggled like a fucking schoolgirl. I resisted the urge to lay the motherfucker out right then and there, fighting back the compelling need to hit something. It took everything in me not to blow my cover and punch a hole in the side of the fucking truck. My teeth clenched and my fists tightened at my sides. My chest heaved as rage coursed through my body, causing me to see nothing but red.
"Oh, really? Is that all I am to you? A piece of ass?"
She softly smiled as he caressed the side of her cheek like I had done a million times. Nothing could have prepared me for what happened next. Not one damn thing. My rock bottom.
"You know what you mean to me, Daisy."
"And just like that,
I love you,"
he sincerely added. My life ended, when hers was just beginning. With Esteban.
Briggs. I sat in the emergency room waiting area with my screen-shattered phone clutched tightly in my grasp. My knee nervously bounced with anticipation, unable to sit still. It felt like I'd been sitting there for days, but in reality it was only a few hours. I got out of my chair a few times, pacing the room, looking out in the hallway at the double doors where Austin was taken back. Nothing. Waiting. My mind raced with thoughts, with guilt, with shame, from everything that Dylan had just reminded me of, bringing back everything that I had worked so hard to push to the back of my conscience. Every last feeling made its presence known. I spent the last 2.5 years in therapy with Dr. Holden, having several breakthroughs in my sessions, finally believing that his addiction wasn't my fault. When I saw my phone light up with Dylan's name, I knew if he was calling me after all this time, something bad had happened. I didn't answer. I was too terrified. I listened to the voicemail he'd left, asking me if I had talked to or seen Austin. The panic in his tone immediately brought up red flags. Then Austin called a few minutes after, and all it took was one fucking phone call to send me spiraling out of control once again. I hadn't talked to him since I left Oak Island. I knew if I had, I would have gone back to him and died a little more inside. I needed to heal. I needed to find